Well, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll look at a couple of verses there, and then we'll look at a lot more during the rest of the message, but we'll start there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's good to hear you sing, and just what a blessing it is, and you know, it's good to get in church, and people look like they're glad they're there. What a joy it is to be in the house of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look down to verse 17, all right? The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, writing to that local New Testament church in Corinth, said this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, the Bible talking about some things that are seen, things that are not seen. some of these things that are temporal are absolutely an unbelievable display of the handiwork of God. There's some marvelous sights and to marvel at in this old world, and it just, you know, I've not traveled much out. I've been to Belize and I've been in Canada for an hour or two, and that's it, my life. The rest of us been here in the United States, but man, there's some just beautiful things to look at. And you know, stop and think just a little bit about the human eye. You know, if you didn't know better, you'd think God designed it, all right? And, you know, if you didn't, hadn't been taught that evolutionary deal that you've got those two eyes and they just happen to evolve and they just happen to be at the right spot on your head to do the most good. Now, I'm being sarcastic if you can't tell it, okay? But God put them right there, and boy, he put a lens in your eye that's able to switch focus just, I mean, boom. You can take and look right in your Bible and you're immediately focused on those words. But you can look up, you can focus on, I'm standing here, I can focus on Brother Blanton. He's back there playing on his phone. And no, I was just kidding, all right? But I can look there and immediately your eye focuses right there real quick, you know. Just no effort. I had a camera, used to shoot a lot of photography, and boy, you had to adjust that focus, and there wasn't anything automatic about it, but man, God made your eye that way. He put a pupil in it that opens and closes automatically so exactly the right amount of light comes in. Just absolutely amazing. It works so well that at night on a dark sea, I'm told that an eye is able to discern a lit cigarette 30 miles away. And during World War II, World War I, out on the ocean, they had those ships. They were darkened. They didn't allow sailors out in battle zones out on deck smoking a cigarette, because you could see that little bit. That pupil opens that way. Yet that same pupil will just adjust perfectly so the bright sunlight doesn't blind that same eye. It's mind-boggling. God even put an irrigation system in it that'll wash out, you know, most things that might get in your eye. And what a good thing it is. It's a good thing to irrigate them every now and then. Don't apologize for weeping. I had a guy say one time, if your eyes leak, your head won't swell. So that's a good thing, all right? And there's such wonderful sights that we're able to see all in color. Is anybody here colorblind? You know, there's some few people are colorblind, but man, we're able to see in color the sunrise and the sunset. I remember working with teenagers, I would tell them, now I know none of y'all ever seen the sunrise, but it does come up and it's beautiful, all right? The moon and the stars, majestic mountains, that simmering seashore, the trees, the flowers, the smiles of people, the waves, friends that you have, all of that through the eyes. Those are the kind of things that we usually think of when we consider our eyes. But there's another part of the eye that's just as important. It's the eyelid. That eyelid is important. But it works automatically. It'll automatically wipe your eye off regularly. You don't have to think, okay, I need to bat my eye. You know, it just happens. It's automatic deal, all right? If something's coming towards your eye, it'll shut. You don't have to think, okay, there's a rock, I better close my eye. Don't have to think, man. It'll just involuntary closes to protect the eye. But unfortunately, there are times it needs to close, and it's up to us to close it. It's up to us to close it. There's some things we shouldn't look at. You see there, verse 18 says, while we look not. Think of some of the things in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, talking about Eve, and when the woman saw, she took. It looked good. She took of it. In Genesis 13 and verse 10, the Bible tells us Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the well-watered plains lying towards Sodom, and that convinced him to pitch his tent in that direction. And look what a devastating thing that was for Lot, because he shouldn't have looked. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2, there's a devastating account of David. The Bible said he saw a woman washing. He shouldn't have looked. Shouldn't have looked. There's times we're not to look. I just want to talk to you about a few of those times if we could, all right? Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, if you do. And you got your Bible, flip over there. Philippians chapter 2 and look down into verse 4, would you? Philippians 2, verse 4. Notice the Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Hey, we're not to just look at our own things. Usually, when the Bible's talking here in this situation, he's talking about a selfish look. A selfish look where we look on our own things to only see what belongs to you. We look at that with that selfish look and see just what belongs to us. It's what maybe what you have, what you want, but your eyes are closed to everybody else. The Bible said we need to be careful about that. We're not to look, okay? Every man on his own things, okay? If some people close their eyes to their own things, they wouldn't see anything. Because that's the only thing they do see is my own stuff. My own situation, my own account, my own, doings. And we close our eyes, though, to what others have. But the Bible says we're not to do that. It says instead, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, obviously, the Bible's not encouraging you to look with a covetous glance. Bible's not telling us, look over there and see what they got and figure out how you can get it. That's not what the Bible's saying. But the Bible's saying that we're to take a look, not a covetous look, but a caring look. Amen. How much do we think about the things of others? The things of others. What's going on with them? All right? How often do we see their problems? How often do we see maybe their potential? How often do we look and see their needs, what they have and what's going on in their life? Man, so often we get so tied up in our own doings. And that is where our focus is just on me. It's on me and what I've got and what I have and how I can increase it. And hey, buddy, you're on your own. But God, I pray we'd not be like that. And just that we'd not have that kind of look, that we would close our eyes to what we can get from somebody else and see what we can give. See what we can give. To be honest with you, Mission Conference coming up, that's part of what Mission Conference is about, to challenge us to see what we can give for somebody else. Somebody else. Well, preacher, I'll never meet those people. Not unless you go to heaven. Not unless you go to heaven, that's where we'll meet them. We've supported missionaries. I've given to missions now for over 50 years. Been given to missions that way. And I've met a handful of the people that have been won to the Lord by missionaries we've supported. Handful. Years and years ago, Brother Don Davis brought a fellow here to church. And he was he had won him to the Lord in Brazil. And we got to meet him. He came. A man that Brother Davis was able to lead to the Lord. And God called him. And Brother Davis discipled him. And he was pastoring in Brazil. Years and years ago, met him. We got to go to Belize and meet folks down there that God had used the Whitakers to win to Christ and to build that church. But man, I've given. I have no idea. You say, do you keep track of how much you give? Not really. Not too much worried about it. But man, I think about what we've supported down through the years for missions. You said, never meet those people. Nope. But I'm going to see them one of these days in heaven. You say, well, what are their needs? I know one of their needs. They need the gospel. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us not to look at what we can get, but what we can give. Now, I'll be honest with you. I know what the Bible says. I got to be careful here. I'm going to stray off from what I'm preaching. But it's here. We might as well look at it a little bit. You got to be careful. I know we preach and we talk about giving. Where the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. I know it says that. And I know the Bible says over there in Malachi chapter 4, if we'll give, God will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. But I'm going to be honest with you, I don't give to get. That's not the reason I give. I give because it's right to give. And I'll be honest with you, I think when we're talking about this, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others, we ought to look to see what people need and what I can give to them. You say, depending upon what's coming back. No, it doesn't matter what's coming back. But what you can give to see them. Hey, one thing you can give is friendship. Friendship. Well, you know something? Friendship's one thing. It cannot be bought. Do you ever think about that? You can't buy friendship. You say, well, wait a minute. I've known some people buy friends. No, they bought some leeches. They bought leeches that would hang around and see how much they could suck out of them, but they weren't real friends. You can't buy friendship, but you can give it, and there's people need it. People need it. This fellow's at church this morning, William, a neighbor close to the Grahams. And they invited him. You said, well, he disturbs, he gets an out. You know what? A man needs the Lord. He needs the Lord. And we can give a guy like that friendship. And he could use some friends. Give him that friendship. Hey, you know, another thing you can give is forgiveness. We can forgive people. Well, you crossed the line and that's it. Well, wait a minute now. Aren't you glad God didn't draw the line and say you crossed it? You're on your own. No, boys, forgiveness. We can give forgiveness. We can do that. We can give faith. You say, what do you mean? I mean the gospel. We can give that faith to people. It's within our power to do it. So God says, wait a minute, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Hey, are you looking more at your stuff? Or are you looking on the things of others? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Go with me now to the first book in the Bible, Genesis, Genesis chapter 19, would you? Genesis chapter 19. There's another command from our Lord, Genesis 19 and verse 17. Now, when you get there, this is the account in the Word of God of the destruction of Sodom. And it says in verse 17, it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad. The they, all right, is those two angels. The them is Lot and his family. So when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Look not behind thee. Hey, Lot had looked once, and he really shouldn't have looked. When he looked at that well-watered plain, he shouldn't have looked that way, but he did. It cost him a great deal. Now he's being told, don't look. Don't look back. He said, no problem. Oh, yeah, that's a problem for us. Because we have a tendency to look back in our life. We look back. We look back at decisions we've made. We look back maybe at events that have happened, at episodes of our life, at experiences that we've gone through. We look back at them, and then oftentimes we try to second guess what we did. We had this circumstance, and we did this, okay, and we look back, and well, think about what I could have done. Can I just say it? The past is fixed. Can't be changed. Can't be changed. Now, I'm not against you looking back to learn and remember, okay, that was a mistake. I don't want to repeat that mistake. But that's not what usually happens. What happens is we get to looking back. Here comes the devil, and he waves that thing at you to discourage you. Yeah, you remember what you did? You remember the approach you took? You remember the words you used? All to just discourage you along the way for God. Man, he waves that at you and tries to, you know, make you quit. Hey, don't you look back. Don't look back. Some of those things. Then we mentioned it, but we'll say it again. You might view it and then say, well, I wish I could change that. You know, I'm prone to ask, is there anybody here other than the youngest children that would say, "My ain't nothing in my life I wouldn't want to change"? Every one of us. Every one of us. Man, we can look back in life and say, yeah, I wish I'd have done that different. I wish I hadn't said that. Or I wish I'd have handled that situation differently. Every one of us have got things like that. But looking back at it and viewing it, we can't change that. We can't change what we did. We cannot change what we said. We can ask forgiveness. If somebody wronged you, you can forgive them. But you cannot go back and change it. Those things that have been done, we've made mistakes. We've sinned in the past. But you can't change that. But at the same time, can I say this to you? Don't walk through life looking back, hauling the guilt around with you because of it. Don't do it. Man, there's nothing to be gained. It's like the folks that beat themselves, flail themselves, you know, in repentance. And they'll take a whip. And there are people to do this, and they'll walk along, you know, and beat their back, their bare back with a whip. Boy, I just want to tell you this. There's nothing to be gained by that unless you just like to bleed. Don't do you any good. Doesn't help anything. Doesn't gain you any merit. Hey, same way with us looking back. You say, boy, you know, I wish and I wish and I wish, I wish. Well, quit wishing and quit looking back. Just go ahead. If you messed up, then deal with it the best you can. Take care of it and go on. Just go on with it. But don't keep hauling it around, all right? Don't do it. Hey, we look back and think, boy, I had it better then. Sure had it better then. Life was better then. Now, you be careful. You be careful. Sometimes in life, I look back, my brother and I, we've talked about it. We talked about the favorite place we ever lived. We lived in some different, we had the chance, we've lived in three states, and some of you say, three, that's nothing. All right, I understand. But we lived in three states, and we've talked about our favorite place to live. But if we went back to that favorite place right now, there's no place to live there. House is gone. Everything's, there's nothing there. Grass, weeds, snakes, nothing there. Hey, sometimes we have a tendency, we look back and say, I had it better then. You know what? So what? If you did have it better then, so what? If we're living for the Lord, we got it pretty good now. We got it pretty good now. I marvel at folks that in our day complain about life. They're living in a air-conditioned, central heat, central air home. There's two vehicles sitting in the driveway, fairly new vehicles, and they've got more stuff than we ever imagined we could have. Just got more stuff than we thought. And we say, well, man, I don't know why things are so hard. Well, get rid of some of your stuff, all right, you know, and it's possible. Hey, you be careful about looking back. Go with me to Luke chapter 9, would you? Luke chapter 9. If you don't know, that is in the New Testament. I know you know that. Luke chapter 9, all right? Luke chapter 9, down in verse 62, okay? Luke chapter 9, down in verse 62, if you would. And notice what the Bible says here. We're talking about looking back. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. As a child of God, our direction is not there. It's up here. It's forward. It is forward. We're to look forward because that's the direction we're to go. All right? In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You said, oh, the word forward is not there. Have you ever seen anybody pressing for the mark in reverse? I never have. You see some guy out walking along. What are you doing? I'm pressing for the mark. Well, son, it might be wise if you turn around then, all right? Hey, we're not to go in reverse, all right? We're to quit looking back. We're to quit dragging out the past and letting the devil work us over about it. We're to quit moaning over past mistakes, past defeats, past hurts. Well, you don't know what they did. No, but man, can you get over it? Just get past it. Look not behind. But boy, if you could, set your gaze like a flint on the future and go forward for God. In just a few weeks, I'll be 70 years old. And you can bring cake and ice cream because I like it, all right? But I'll be 70 years old. I realize that the time I have ahead is less than what's behind. But I'm not going to spend what I've got left going, sure miss those days. Man, that is done different. Miss that. Oh, there's something out here. There's something God has for you to do. There's something God has for me to do. I'm going to go forward, not backwards. Looking ahead, all right? Man, chin up, eyes focused ahead. That's where I'm going. Not going backwards. Don't look behind. Look not. Look not. Be careful. Go with me now over to 1 Samuel chapter 16. There's another admonition to us. We're admonished to look not. Okay? And boy, I'll tell you, this is one place where people have a hard, hard time today. And these verses are misused by a lot of people, but we're going to look at them in a different light. First Samuel 16, would you look at verse 7? But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now let me just stop here a second, not going to dwell on it. There's a lot of folks in this world today use that verse to tell you it doesn't matter how you look. That is not true. That verse is not telling you God doesn't care how you look. No, the Bible's saying, yep, God does look on your heart, okay? You can dress up the outside and fake it. God looks on the heart. But this verse is not telling you it doesn't matter how you look. It's not what that verse is saying. But I want to go back to the first part of it where it's, now the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Now, just remind you what's going on. Samuel is at the house of Jesse. And he's there to anoint the next king over Israel. And Jesse has brought his sons out. And Samuel looks at that first one and said, this got to be him. Bless the Lord, he looks the part, okay? Here they come, all right? And in verse 6, he said he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. He looked at Eliab, that first one, said, this has got to be the one. Now, what was he looking at? Here's the thing, you look not on the physical. Not on the physical, look not to the flesh. The truth of the matter is that's where the focus of most people in this world is today. We spend most of our time looking at physical things. Physical things. We, in the negative side of it, we can see every obstacle. We're challenged to do something and we sit there and we can tick off the obstacles. Preacher gets up and preaches to you, let's do this. And you go, I can't because of this reason and this reason and this reason. And everything we're saying is physical things. We see the obstacles, all right? We see every distraction. Man, I've been in school for 48 years. I've had students that it doesn't take anything to distract them. If there was one ant in the building, one ant in the building, they could find it if it was on the ceiling. And they could spend 2 hours. But that same kid would come along and tell you, I'm bored. Amen. You entertained yourself 2 hours watching one ant on the ceiling. Hey, easily distracted. We can see all of it. Hey, we can see everything that appeals to the flesh. We can see everything that appeals to our flesh. And boy, I mean, it seems like our eyes are drawn to it like a magnet. At the same time, we can see everything that scares the flesh. Everything that scares the flesh. I talked to you about going out and knocking on doors. And you immediately see, I'm scared. I'm afraid to do that. I'm shy. I'm timid. I do not have the gift of gab. Plus, I'm sure the first door I knock on, somebody's going to come out with a gun aimed at me saying, what are you doing on my porch? What we can't see, we can imagine when it comes to obstacles. We can see everything that satisfies the flesh. And it's those things that are eternal we have such a hard time seeing. We can't see them seemingly. The truth is, I think oftentimes we don't look for them. We don't look at those eternal things. Because we're consumed right here. The things of the flesh those things that are physical. We never look up to see what God has for us. To see those things. The Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, talking about Moses, said he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Oftentimes it's those invisible things, invisible to the naked eye, but they can be seen by the eye, the spiritual eye of man. Those things that are spiritually discerned. Hey, look not on the physical. Don't let yourself be discouraged by obstacles. Don't let that happen. Don't live your life afraid to do anything for God because all you see is the opposition. Man, obviously, my mind goes to those 12 spies sent into the land of the promised land, the land of Canaan. 10 of them came back and said, "We can't. We can't." Two of them came back and said, "Man, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's just an amazing land." The 10 said, "Oh, it is, but, there's giants. We're grasshoppers in their sight. We don't have a chance." They did, but all they could see was the physical. We see the opposition. Boy, let's not get focused there. The Bible tells us, hey, look not. Look, Samuel, look not on his countenance. Look not on the height of his stature. God's telling Samuel, look, there's something more important than the physical. There's something more important than the physical. I've heard all my life the old saying that says it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog that makes the difference. When we were going to school, my brother and I in Alva, we'd ride the bus in the Alva. There was two kids that rode the bus with us, and two boys. They were brothers, and one of them, he was, I don't know, seventh, eighth grade maybe, something like that, sixth grade. And his brother, probably first grade, second at the most, something along that line. And his older brother was just, I say this graciously, he was a jerk, okay? He was just a pain. And he was always doing something that aggravated other people. And those other people would get aggravated, and then they would get physical with him. They'd want to beat him up. Now, this older brother treated his little brother like dirt. He knocked him around, you know, I mean, just unmercifully. Many times on the bus driver, we had two monitors on the bus, older kids, high school kids, and they would tell him, "Quit!" They'd have to jump on him. "You leave your brother alone. Leave him alone." But that older brother mistreated the younger brother. But when somebody jumped on the older brother, that little brother came on the run. And it was a deal. "You ain't going to do that to my brother." And it didn't matter how big the kids were. Man, he'd jump into it. If he could bite them, he'd bite them. I mean, he just went after them, all right? He didn't look on their countenance. He didn't look on their stature. He said, "You ain't messing with my brother." Hey, we look at all the opposition. But there ought to be something within us. And God said it's what's in you that makes a difference. It's what's in you. Look not on the physical. Don't do that. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah 31 and verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. And I want to say it this way, look not to the world. Egypt in the Bible has always been a type of the world. In the Bible, when they went down, notice what it says, to them that go what? Down to Egypt. Any time in the Bible, if you go to Egypt, you're going down. And that was true physically, geographically, it's true spiritually. All right? It was always, Egypt was a representative and a type of the world. Hey, that's our situation. We see men pretty well today. We see the world's way of doing things. Truth of the matter is, we're experts on Egypt. We're experts on Egypt. We're used to the world's ways. We live in it. We have been immersed in it so long, we think it's right. It's not. But when somebody gets up and challenges you to go opposite to that, you look at them like there's something wrong with them. What are you talking about? Hey, everybody does it. No, everybody in the world does it that way. That doesn't mean God's people are to do it that way. But our problem is that's what we see. And we look to that. We have a problem, we look to the world for the solution of it. How would the world handle it? Hey, that's what gets us a lot of times in trouble. Because we pick the world's way to do it, and that's the wrong way to do it. You know, what would they do? What would they do? How would they handle it? Yeah, because we think the world's way is now the right way. We've been immersed in it. But it's not. It is not. And that's what the Bible's encouraging us here in chapter 31 of verse 1. He said our problem is we don't look to the Holy One of Israel. It's not saying look not to Him, but He said you don't look to Him. Boy, that's our challenge. It's time to look to God. It is time to look to Him. Hey, what does He want? What does He want? I want to just challenge you just a little bit tonight. What does He want? What does He want you to do? You got a situation? How does God want you to handle it? How would He want you to handle it? How would He have you attack that situation? You know, you've got some circumstance, you got some obstacle. Well, hey, let's get a stick of dynamite and blow it up. That might not be the best way. Let's find out what God wants us to do. What would He have us do in reaction to what we're facing? What's His method? Hey, what does He want us to do? How does He want us to live? How does He want you to live? I believe with all my heart, a lot of Christians go through life. Now, they're saved. I believe they are saved. But they never stop to think, how does God want me to live? Oh, yeah, I know. They know they're not supposed to murder anybody. They know that. They know I'm not supposed to be immoral. But really, I mean, they pretty well, that's about as deep as it goes. Okay, I know I'm not supposed to rob the bank. But how does He really want us to live? Sadly, There's a host of Christians playing the lottery. Thinking that's what God wants, that's the way I need to do to get ahead. It's not the way to get ahead. Not the way to do it at all. But man, there's a host of people do it. If I'm not mistaken, Brother Oftedal told us he used to carry church groups and he was driving Dan Dipert over to gambling casinos. Didn't you tell me one time you carried a group or not? Maybe it wasn't right, but I know there's church groups that go. They go. Let's go to the casino and just have a good time. Look, what does God want? Do you stop and think, what does God want me to do? How does He want me to live? Now, you're going to get up in the morning and you've got a day to face. How does God want you to conduct yourself tomorrow? In every situation. Some of you are getting up, you're going to work. Had two kids come to me all and out of the blue this morning said, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. They asked another one, do you want to go? No. I looked at him and said, I'm going to clue you in on something. I don't want to go either. But I'm going. All right? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. Hey, tomorrow you got work. How are you going to conduct yourself at work? Well, I'm the disgruntled employee. Will God help you? Surprise them. Go in tomorrow with a happy, cheerful attitude. In the day in which we live, they'll probably say, how many cups of coffee have you had? Hey, I mean, here we are. Just go in with a different attitude. How does the Lord want me to react to what's going to happen? Maybe I'm going to the grocery store. Maybe I'm going to Walmart. There's some things that might happen there. How does God want me to live? How does he want me to react to different situations? Hey, how does he want me to do things? How does he want it? Can I just challenge you a little bit? How about a little faith in him instead of in men and instead of in the world? Just trust in him. I know the world says, well, here's the way you do it. But that's not what God says. It's not what the Bible says. We're not to look to Egypt. We're not to look to the world to set our patterns, to set our life. We're to look to God. What do you want me to do? I'm not to spend tomorrow looking behind me and say, boy, I long for those days where I... Those days are gone. Forget it. They're gone. Don't look back. Don't look behind, okay? Don't look at the failures. Don't look at the things that have gone wrong, right? Don't spend all your time just focused on you, your own things. But look on the affairs and the things of others. Hey, how can I be a blessing tomorrow instead of just another pain in the neck like a lot of people in the world are? How can I handle those things? How am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Hey, you be careful where you look. God gave you two eyes. And he put an eyelid on top of each one of them. And they do things involuntarily. But that doesn't mean you can't control them too. If you want to shut them, you can shut them. You can shut them. You don't have to see it. What you shouldn't see. But there ought to be concern. Lord, what do you want me to look? Would you think about it just a little bit tonight? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight after looking at the Scriptures. Lord, on numerous occasions you've given men the admonition to look not. And Lord, some of those sayings are just absolutely contrary to what we're used to. We're told to look not on our own things, but Lord, that's where we normally look. Lord, would you help us develop that ability to look on the things of others and how we can help them, how we can be a blessing, how we can lift them up. Lord, you've told us not to look on the physical thing, but Lord, that's where we look. We look at all that's physical. It attracts us, and the flesh is attractive to us, and the physical things of this world. But Lord, would you help us not to just focus there, but focus on some things that are eternal. And Lord, help us not to just focus and look on the world, but Lord, help us to look to you. Help us to seek your will. And Lord, just speak to us tonight. And Lord, maybe somebody needs to come spend a little time at the altar. Lord, it's here. It's important that we use it. Lord, help us to see your will and to follow that will tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.